Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Thanks so much for being here. Much to get to today in the way of news, conversation, and also it is Open Line Friday, which means we'd love to hear from you. What do you think about what we're talking about? What's on your mind, America? 800-282-2882. That number, you know the number. 800-282-2882. Let's get those lines lit and have a chat. We got a really bad jobs report. I mean, so bad that the Biden spin team is looking a little bit dizzy, trying to figure out how do they explain only 194,000 jobs added while they were expecting 500. I should say there was an estimate of 500,000 going into it for the month of September. So the slowest hiring, slowest pace, rather, of job growth all year. Well, you'd think that aren't we getting better and better, right? Build back worse seems to be the real Biden slogan. We should be having a lot of wind in ourselves, but this economy, we'll come to that in a moment. We've also got the alleged school shooter freed on bail already. Went in, shot four people, one of the victims struggling for his life still. Out on bail, the school shooter, right away. Usually you think you go into a school, you shoot four people, you try to murder someone, almost murder four people, you're out on bail the next day and you're just hanging out. That's interesting. It feels like there's maybe a different standard that's at work. I wonder what's going on in that case. We'll talk about it. Plus, you got Hunter Biden's art show in New York City is postponed because it turns out, oh, there are people who might be able to influence Hunter by buying his finger paintings for $500,000. It's not that hard to have a conversation with him and then pretend you're an anonymous patron of Hunter Biden's artwork. And then both Clay and I watched the Dave Chappelle Netflix special. It's gotten a lot of heat over the conversation around the LGBTQ plus community, which I know Justin Trudeau of Canada has a whole new acronym that's like 2LS++-. I mean, there's all these new things being added to the acronym all the time. We'll get to that in a moment. But Clay, I want to pose this as a question I want everyone to think about. So there are a lot of answers, but I think that it puts our conversation in a pretty useful framework right now. What is Joe Biden good at? Because I think it's clear it's not being president. And everyone who's being honest is seeing that play out in real time.
It's such a great question. I don't know the answer because, Buck, if you just rated Joe Biden right now and tried to find out what is the least bad performance by Joe Biden so far, I was thinking about this. I'm glad you raised it. He's clearly failing on an epic level at the border. Inflation is a disaster. We're talking about epic, unbelievable levels of murder that are going on. There are 10.9 million open jobs right now, and we can only somehow get 194,000 people hired. All of those things are unmitigated disasters, and certainly foreign policy with Afghanistan, everything could not have gone worse. The only thing that I can say that hasn't turned to crap since Biden took over is he hasn't completely eliminated the tariffs and the hard line that Donald Trump took against China. Now, he's not going to be anywhere near as effective. But, I you know, somebody was tweeting me. They were like, hey, you've said before you don't root against the American president to fail. And that is true. I don't think it, regardless of who the political party the president represents is, I don't want China to think that they can invade Taiwan because we have an incompetent president, right? There are things that every president's going to do or not do that you agree or disagree with.
That's bad for everybody, yeah.
That's bad for, I mean, look, I don't want World War III to happen because Joe Biden is so bad at his job, right? But I really, other than not changing some of the policies on China, it's almost impossible to be worse. I mean, you and I both, Buck, expected that Joe Biden would be a really bad American president. I didn't expect for it to be this bad this soon.
He has gone below my already very low expectations.
Same for me.
And this isn't just something that you and I are feeling. And, you know, yeah, we work in radio and politics and media. the polling shows this. The people who have a mind that is open to being changed by reality and facts, independent, swing voters, all the data, and even some sliver of Democrats are disappointed in what's going on with Joe Biden so far up to this point. And I do think it's important for everybody to remember where we were a year ago and what they were telling us it was going to be like, right? All the speeches about, I'm going to crush the virus, not the economy. Now, it turns out Joe's pretty good at crushing the economy and not the virus. It shows us that there was really no effort. All the talk of unity, you know, they made Trump into this demonic figure and were willing to, as we know, lie about him with Russia collusion. And we could do a whole 3-hour show now on all the lies they told about Trump. But the promise was there will be normalcy and unity when they're in power. And that's how they sold it to people in Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, you know, in the Pennsylvania.
Arizona.
Who said, all right, fine. It's COVID. It's a pandemic. Joe will bring us back to normal. Joe will build back better, right? I mean, give me a break. Now we see this. No effort. I mean, the unity thing went away day one, right? As soon as he sat down in the Oval Office.
Started signing like, all the executive orders.
Might as well have been AOC sitting in the Oval Office at that point in time. And then you've seen since then, everything that they try to do, everything that is in Biden's purview doesn't go well. You have to lower your expectations constantly, even if you had low expectations to begin with. And now they're trying to tell us all this stuff like we can't actually see where is inflation? Why are there, 11 million jobs open? What are the reasons for this? I don't know. Maybe businesses and just the people in the economy, working in the economy in general, are concerned about unnecessary regulation, inflation, huge spending, raising taxes. The continuation, by the way, of the lockdowns in the blue states, you're starting to see the economic divide really play out as well. The blue state panic porn stuff in New York and California is holding back those economies at a state level when red states are saying we're going back to work, folks. There is a real difference here.
Yeah, and I think we need to keep hammering home for average people out there. And you and I have both been average people. I live in the middle part of the country. I pay attention as I'm driving around. What are the prices of gas? Gas is at a 7-year high, Buck. $80 a barrel now. It's gone over. This is real money out of real people's pockets. Study that came out this week. The average American, because of the rising rate of inflation, is paying $175 extra a month for the same things that they would have bought in past years. Biden keeps saying, oh, I'm not going to raise taxes on anybody making less than $400,000 a year. The American people are smart when they look at their pocketbook and they recognize an additional several thousand dollars. That's a real, let's talk about this for a minute. If you're making $35,000 a year, let's say, you're the average American family out there, $45,000 a year, $50,000, whatever it is, a couple of extra $1,000 out of your pocket, which is what inflation is costing, that you are not able to deal with at all because you might have already had a tight budget. The fact that your taxes are not being raised by the federal government doesn't mean that the money going out from your pocket for buying the basics in your life isn't also going up. And it's as if people don't recognize, and this goes to, and I want to play a clip for everybody when we come back in this next break, the reaction on CNBC to only 194,000 jobs. But the larger context here, Buck, is Democrats don't understand basic business, and they don't understand basic the economics, because if they did, the added $175 for this inflation tax, which is what's going on, is a monster deal to people all over the country.
Well, a lot of them don't understand business. And I think that there are those in the Democrat Party, because they would say, oh, but what about, you know, the Ratners, right? Remember where Bruce Ratner was in charge of the GM restructuring for the Obama administration, hedge fund guy, right? I mean, they've had people who are coming from the business world. Yeah, but they go along with an ideology that says that they can override with enough government power market forces or ignore market forces and basic human nature because they're so smart. So you either have ignorance pushing Democrat economic policy or extreme hubris, a word that I've been using a lot lately, but I think is quite applicable here, where they think all of a sudden it doesn't matter. Clay, we are approaching $30 trillion in debt. Everybody should just take a moment and go back and look at what was happening in the country in 2009 and 2010 when we were at a fraction of the national debt that we're at now. And people were deeply concerned about their children, their grandchildren's futures and what it means. We are seeing right now the early, this is like the tide is rising up at our feet. We are seeing what's happening with inflation because of these government policies. And it's because there are people who believe that the government is effectively Santa Claus. He just can give free stuff out to everybody. And it's only the big, bad, mean, evil Republicans who don't want everyone to have endless free stuff. There's no endless free.
This is a big point that I don't think a lot of people have recognized. And by the way, Republicans are not ceasing to be blamed here because they've gone along to a certain extent. Modern monetary policy basically is instructing politicians that debt doesn't matter, that the amount of national debt that we take on, which has become massive because of COVID, at a level of government spending we haven't seen, Buck, since World War II, when we were fighting the Nazis and we had to produce all the material to allow the war to be fought.
And the Japanese, right?
Yeah, so, and the Japanese.
We had a lot of stuff going on in World War II. Yeah.
But that is kind of, in essence, we spent the same caliber of GDP on fighting COVID as we did to fight the Nazis and the Japanese in World War II and win that war. It's pretty crazy when you think about it.
And there's no way you can look at what the response has been, pushed by experts, and then all the financial wizardry, or what's supposed to be wizardry behind it, and see what we've gone through in this country and say, yeah, we do. It's been great how we've handled COVID. No one thinks it's been great how we've handled COVID. So we have massive debt, a tremendous amount of misery, the destruction of freedom. And where are we now? I mean, look at where the economy currently is. And it looks like, I think it could get a whole lot worse. You look at the supply chain snarls that are going on right now. It's one of these stories that sounds boring, kind of like the debt for a lot of people. Yes. Oh, the debt. It's one of these things that sounds boring and it's lingering in the background. It could mean empty shelves in wherever you are listening to this right now. You're going to go in the store. They're going to say, sorry, you know, we don't have any milk
toys
this week. It's not going to be milk. It's going to be stuff that's brought in from China. But
yeah,
we're not going to have
toys for Christmas. They're going to be totally empty shelves.
That plug you need, to get that machine doing the thing it does for you, not going to be in stock for 6 months. I mean, there's going to be problems like that. That's going to be a real issue. But we'll come back. By the way, the CNBC thing is pretty funny because it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Turns out he's building back better. Not so much. Not so much with this Biden administration. Yeah, we've been talking about ways to save money a lot on the show because right now things are tough. The inflation situation is bad, and your monthly mortgage might be the one bill you can lower and give yourself some valuable breathing room as a result. I mean, imagine that. You're paying less for your home. It's possible you could save, listen to this, up to $1,000 a month. Now's the time to refinance your mortgage. Cheap rates are still here for your mortgage, with some options in the twos, which is why you need to look at your loan right now. Look at your rate. If you're paying more than what I just said, you could see it drop. Make that 10-minute call to American Financing. Clay, I'm getting my American Financing loan set up right now for a property I'm purchasing. The best customer service, and they make it so easy because, otherwise it can be a real pain.
You got young kids, they're sitting around counting down the days to Christmas. You know what that also means? The end of the year is close, and whatever your family's budget is, you may be poised to blow right through it. $1,000 a month you could save for a 10-minute phone call. Think about what $12,000 of extra flexibility could mean for you and your family. That's why you need to just pick up your phone right now and listen to me. Call American Financing at 800-777-8109. The lowest rates of your life, either for a new home or to refi. 800-777-8109. Save $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. You can go to AmericanFinancing.net, NMLS 182334, NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Get those phones, that phone number for the last time, 800-777-8109. Call American Financing today and save a bundle.
Half their brains tied behind their back, just to make it fair. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We roll through the Friday edition of the program. We were talking about the announcement of the new jobs report. Only 194,000 jobs newly announced. The expectation was roughly 500,000 new jobs. And by the way, we got to keep in mind, there are right now 10.9 million open jobs in this country. That is basically the largest amount of open jobs that has ever existed. And for many of you out there, as you're driving around in your neighborhoods, or certainly if you own a small business, it's virtually impossible to get people hired. You can go into a restaurant right now and they can't even seat you because they can't find people to work at the restaurant no matter what they are paying. And I want you guys to hear, this is the CNBC anchors live as they hear for the first time the September jobs report. Listen to this.
Things are coming down pretty rapidly. We just have this jobs report. Steve, what do you see?
194.
Whoa.
I see 194,000. That is real low.
Reacting in real time, Buck.
I mean, they're looking at this like, that's not good. I mean, I love it, the Ron Klain thing, too, you know, the White House chief of staff, he comes out immediately with a tweet about how, you know, the most jobs created ever, something like, look, buddy, when you belly flop in the shallow end of the pool and you're the guy who's got a big sunburn, you know, like when it's really looking rough, you don't tell everybody how you actually just won the Olympic gold medal. Like you don't go in the other direction and pretend like you're crushing it. And on the unemployment rate, a very important figure here is that people are dropping out.
Yes.
There are 11 million open jobs and people are dropping out of the workforce at an accelerated rate. Maybe because they got used to the benefits that they've been getting. Maybe because they're so scared of COVID. But it's not because people are thinking, I want to get a piece of this Biden economy as soon as possible.
It's such a good question. You asked what Biden is doing well, and the answer is basically nothing, which is why he has a 38% approval rating and why 70% basically of independents are saying he's doing a disastrous job. But I am really curious, what are all these people doing that they're not taking the 10.9 million open jobs, right? I mean, because that's a level of open jobs that we've never seen before. And I just find it to be utterly fascinating to think. Now, it's what we've incentivized people. First of all, we told them, hey, go home, you can't work. Then we told them, hey, we'll pay you a lot of money not to work, all the while terrifying a huge percentage of people that were never at risk, that they were going to die if they went to work. And now suddenly we're telling everybody, hey, go back to work. But all of the incentives that we've provided them has basically let people kick back on their couch, eat Cheetos, and watch Netflix.
Yeah, nobody who was, you know, under the age of 60 and didn't have specific health concerns should have ever been told, really, maybe beyond the
Amen.
First couple of
and
weeks,
by the way,
you should go home
saying,
and not work.
You and I
this
were saying
crazy.
This since, like, April of last year,
yeah,
and people were like, oh, you want everybody's grandma
to
die.
I remember this. You and I were among the very, very few. We wanted everybody to die because we're like, guys, we just have to face life. By the way, I got COVID, you got COVID,
yes.
You know, we did face life. That's what ended up happening. We'll come back, though, in a second. I want to talk, do you want to talk about the school shooting situation?
Yes, it's strange.
Something's going on. All right, I love dogs. I absolutely love dogs. It's one of the great joys in life to see your furry friend come running over to you, right? You love dogs, I do too, but you don't want to feed your dog dead food. The problem with most dog food is that it is dead food. All dry dog food has to be able to sit on a shelf at a big box store for 2 to 3 years. That means that dry kibble gets rid of all the live nutrients that you need. That's why you have to add Ruff Greens in. Ruff Greens is not a dog food. It's a healthy supplement that we put into Tallulah the Frenchie's food and the Sexton family. You will love it for your dog, too. You just add it into the existing dog food. The folks at Ruff Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They've got a special deal for listeners to this show. Go to roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. That's R-U-F-F. roughgreens.com/Clay and Buck. And they'll give you the first bag free. You heard me right. Free. All you pay is shipping.
Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have much to discuss, including the latest on the COVID data, trying to look ahead. Where are we going to be this winter time? Where are we going to be in the winter? That's what we're going to talk to our friend Alex Berenson at 2:05 Eastern here on the show. Alex, as you know, kicked off of Twitter. So this is one of the few places where he is platformed, to borrow a term from the left. One of the few places where we give some amplification to the data analysis that he does of COVID. We'll get into all of that in a moment, but I want to talk about criminal justice for a moment here. Well, the huge spike in crime, first and foremost, that's happened, as we've been discussing, as a result of the defund the police movement, of the rise of BLM and the riots around it, and all that we saw starting around June of 2020, the undermining of police, but also the prosecutor's offices that are taking a more social justice, left-wing, Soros-approved approach to prosecuting serious crimes. What is the result of all of that? Well, we're seeing it play out in major cities. Places like Austin, Texas, for example. Great city. Clay and I are both fans of Austin. A lot of fun to go visit, but has an all-time high for murder this year. And defunded last year police by over $100 million. Almost like there's a cause and effect at work. And here's just a reminder. This is an ad that's been put out by the RNC about what Democrats were saying on this issue.
So we've been talking about defunding the police.
There's some issues that we ask police to do, like mental health issues or policing in schools and all the rest, that perhaps we can shuffle some of that money around.
Suck it up. Defunding the police has to happen. We need to defund the police.
Mayor Eric Garcetti saying, take some of the money from policing, about $150 million.
I applaud Eric Garcetti for doing what he's done.
Not only do we need to disinvest for in police, but we need to completely dismantle the Minneapolis Police Department.
So many prominent Democrats said, he had Nancy Pelosi, he had many very prominent Democrats. Really, the Democrat Party was behind the defund the police movement for a time. Joe Biden specifically stood back from it a little bit, but never called it out, never said that this was crazy, which is what any reasonable person would do. But we also see the decisions that are being made by the criminal justice system and have to wonder what's going on. I had mentioned to you earlier the week, Clay and I talked about a shootout with multiple people in Chicago.
Yes.
Kim Fox, the prosecutor's office, mutual combat. I worked for the NYPD for
like Game of Thrones.
I'd never heard of the mutual combat clause before for not prosecuting anybody. So, by the way, as I understand it, there still hasn't been anybody charged with attempted murder over that one. And now we have the school shooting that we started the show with yesterday, Clay. There was a school shooting, as we know, four people shot, one of them fighting for his life still. An 18-year-old, a legal adult in all 50 states, goes into a school with a gun, and Timothy George Simpkins, 18 years old, this was in Arlington, Texas, this is a mass shooting, folks, at a school. He has been released on $75,000 bail. I texted a friend of mine who's a criminal defense attorney last night. Clay, I said, what does this look like to you? She responded, politics. What do you think?
It's unbelievable. Let me just give you some facts here. This 18-year-old in high school brought a .45 caliber handgun to school, shot this Zacchaeus Selby, 15-year-old, four times, all right? Four times he was shot. And let me hit you with some of the details here in terms of where he was shot. He was shot. He's had two surgeries already, this 15-year-old. Shot in his arm, leg, chest, and stomach. He's on a ventilator and is going to need more surgeries. Okay, the 15-year-old who is in severe condition right now. Also, this 18-year-old shot a teacher who was trying to break up the fight. Okay, shot a teacher. I want to give the teacher's name here because this part of the story is also crazy. Calvin Pettit, I believe is how you pronounce his name, a teacher who tried to break up the fight, was also wounded, and another student was hit by a bullet, all right? So all of these people are shot at school by an 18-year-old, and there's only a $75,000 bond, and this guy is already out? Buck, this is crazy. I mean, when you look at a $75,000 bond, first of all, you only have to put up a lot of time 10% of a bond to get out of jail. So you can shoot four people at school, including a teacher, and get out of jail for $7,500?
Clay, let's understand this. The attorney representing him is claiming, representing the shooter,
self-defense.
He's saying it's, quote, not a standard issue school shooting, end quote. I'm pretty sure when you go grab a gun, and you're not under threat, you're not defending, you go grab a gun because you don't like someone or some people, and you go try to murder them in school, multiple people, that is a school shooting. I mean, that I'm sure. I know that, you know, I know the left says women can get pregnant. I'm sorry. Women can get pregnant.
Yeah,
men can get pregnant. Sorry about that. Men can get pregnant. I know there's some areas where they completely divert from reality, but I'm going to, you know, fight on this one. It is a school shooting when you shoot four people in school.
Also, it's a big deal to have a gun on a school campus. And it's not as if we're talking even about an accidental discharge shooting, which would still be pretty serious because, again, it's at school. He shot one of his classmates four times, Buck.
Clay,
four times.
The part of this that I think the left hasn't really gotten as outraged about, this guy brought a gun into a gun-free zone. Did he not know? Did he not see the rules that this was prohibited? I mean, this is why so much of the discourse around how we stop violence like this is rooted in the lack of liberal logic, the lack of understanding of human nature, the fact that criminals do not care when you add yet another rule or regulation. I mean, you know, all schools are gun-free zones.
Yes.
As if any school shooter in history has been like, whoa, I don't know.
Yeah, hey,
there's a sign that says not a gun-free, it's no guns allowed. And the fact that this guy's out on bail, but I just think it's so interesting because of the profile of the shooter, and because of this backstory, there was a fight. They are treating this. Let's say he was a quiet kid, Clay. He was a quiet kid, and they're having this fight before. He just went in and shot four people. They'd have him in like a supermax facility awaiting trial right now. They'd have him in solitary.
He's 18, Buck. He's not even a kid. Like he's an adult for purposes of being charged with a crime. And he shot at not only one of his classmates who was 15 four different times. He also shot a teacher, accidental or not. It's kind of a big deal to shoot a teacher.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen much of an explanation. He hit four people. So he was so reckless that he was trying to obviously kill the one person that he claims bullied him and hit three other innocent people in the process? I mean, that alone is grounds you would think. I mean, this kid is reckless. Kid, he's an adult. Reckless beyond words. But did he try to kill more than one person? I mean, what does it take for you to be held until trial if not something like this? You wonder.
Or, I mean, just think about it in the context of the quote-unquote insurrection, Buck. We got people in solitary confinement for walking into the Capitol. We got a school kid who's 18 years old that shot one guy four times as well as a teacher and nothing happens.
That's exactly right. That's a perfect example of how the political narrative here is driving criminal justice prosecutions in ways that are clearly unjust and politicized. It's about narrative. And that's an excellent example. It's also why I thought it's so interesting that, you know, Kim Fox, a prosecutor in Chicago, she likes, you know, her family has ties to, she likes Jussie Smollett. And so he was able to get away with that whole. Now, obviously, that's a much less seriousness in these issues we're talking about here, but she lets him get away with that. And then when it comes time to prosecute people who are shooting each other like they're at the, you know, the OK Corral in broad daylight, it's, we're not going to bring any charges because we don't know who started it. These are the people who are in charge of dispensing justice. They're entrusted by the public to do this. These are the district attorneys, whether it's Chesa Boudin in San Francisco or Krasner in Philadelphia or obviously Fox in Chicago. You can't trust these people to be making these decisions.
And also, I mean, who even let this get past? $7,500 for a school shooter and he's back on the streets? It's crazy. By the way, pain sufferers. A lot of people want to know, how do I get out of suffering from pain? 70% of the pain sufferers in this audience know the answer is Relief Factor. That's the products. That's the name, Relief Factor. Relief Factor's developed a 3-week quick start pack. You take Relief Factor 3 times a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 3 weeks, and boom, you'll know if it works for you or not. Hundreds of thousands of people have tried Relief Factor, and about 70% of them have gone on to order more. Those are amazing odds. Relief Factor works for 7 out of 10 people. Are you one of those 7 who will live their life in less pain? My wife, Buck Sexton's dad, they've signed up. They love it. How can others sign up and join them, Buck?
Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95 today. All you have to do is go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or just call this number, 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
The views expressed on this program make more sense than anything anybody else happens to be saying.
Passing the torch of wisdom, even to this very day. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. We're talking about the extreme political nature of prosecution in the modern era in which we live and how it can lead to wildly divergent outcomes that are in no way connected to justice. We've got a caller who says he was in the Capitol on January 6th, and we're talking about the difference between the 18-year-old inside of a school in Texas who shot four different people, allegedly, and is out on a $75,000 bond. And how did that compare to what happened to you, our caller from California?
Well, let me tell you, this is really wild. First off, they raided my house. There was 30 cops that raided my house. They arrested me. Me and my son had just got done playing golf. I was arrested at gunpoint. We both had laser dots all over us. I got thrown in jail for 9 days. I thought they were going to extradite me back to Washington, D.C. None of my charges are violent charges at all. They're all picketing or attempting to remain in a building, which I wasn't. I was in the building for under 3 minutes, to be honest with you. And
I want to cut you off. So you were there on January 6th. You're saying you walked in, you just kind of followed the mass of people into the United States Capitol for 3 minutes. How did they track you down?
Well, I'm a 6'4", 200 and some odd pound man with a huge beard on my face, and it was pretty easy to identify me. But when I was actually forced in, it was a stampede of people that ran in. And the very first thing I did, I went to an officer and I said, "Hey, I'm not part of this. What do I need to do?" I was told to go stand against the wall with my hands up, and they would help me get outside, which they did. And it took about 3.5 minutes. And once I was outside, four of the officers, one got thrown on the ground by his own fellow officers because the force of the push, and three of them retreated behind a door. And they asked me to help them get back inside, so I held the door open to help them, to protect them from the people behind me, because it was kind of wild on the side that I was on. And I helped the officers get back inside. So I got a charge that was impeding an officer during an investigation, going inside of a Capitol building or a restricted area. I got a charge of disrupting a political thing where the vice president was. I got six charges, very common charges that many other people got, and they almost didn't let me out of jail. When they found out I had a property with a ton of equity in, I was able to put my house up. I have a $200,000 property bond on my home, and that was the only way that I was able to get out. And none of my charges are violent. They even know I didn't do anything violent. And I just still can't believe that the FBI raided my home. And the search warrant, they were coming for a – they came for a Trump hat, a T-shirt, and a jacket.
Wait, John, it's Buck. So it was actually the FBI that came busting into your home over this?
Yes, the FBI came busting into my home.
They might have thought that you were at a you know, parent-teacher meeting and said something mean to the teachers, by the way, because we know the DOJ these days is very interested in that. But, John, where are you now in the adjudication process? Like, are you still facing the charges? Do you know where this is going?
I'm still facing the charges. As a matter of fact, I was recently, and I don't want to give too much information because I don't want the FBI to identify who I am. Obviously, my name is John Doe, but mine is more recent. I was one of at the later end of the people arrested. And
what are you facing? Really, how much time could you get?
Well, the longest charge carries 20 years.
Wow.
You were in the Capitol for 3 minutes. The FBI raided your home. You had to post a $200,000 bond to get out of jail after spending, you said, 9 days in jail?
That's correct.
And you did,
and
I mean,
a lot of this, and I'm lucky because I'm out. How many guys are still in?
Because they don't have the assets to be able to post the bail and get out.
Yeah, they're being held in solitary. Clay and I were just talking about this in the break. There are still nonviolent nonviolent participants in January 6th who are being held in solitary, have been held for many months. John, we know obviously it's not your name.
Do you have a good lawyer, John?
Man, I have one of the best around, man. I really love the man to pieces. And he tells me over and over again, he says, John, don't worry at all. He said, we're gonna beat this. And I believe we are. The sad thing about it is it's already cost me $40,000 in attorney fees.
Yeah, lawyers are very, very expensive. Look, John, we appreciate you calling in and giving us a view into what it's really like here and what the criminal justice system's like. And I know, God bless and stay safe. Thank you for being here on the show. Clay, I mean, you said it right before. You got people. You're part of a group that breaks into a building. There are hundreds of people. It's a big protest. Well, I know people's blood is kind of running hot at the times. A lot of stuff going on. You step aside. You say, according to what you know, we can only take him at his word. We don't know, but he speaks to law enforcement. He says, I don't want to be a part of this stuff. And you face. I mean, does anyone think that the guy? You know, how long is this individual who just shot four people? How long was he held? 24 hours before they let him go on bail. Interesting, isn't it?
I'm so fired up about this. This is me as a lawyer speaking, Buck, because everyone has to have faith in our justice system in order for the justice system to work. Really, I mean, that is the essence. And I'm not saying we get everything perfect, because we don't. No system created by man is going to be perfect. But the idea that we could have all of these people facing the charges that they are for nonviolent, for the most part, breaking and entering, trespassing, whatever you want to say, of the United States Capitol, and simultaneously we can have a violent school shooter. I mean, compare the difference between the treatment right of those two. It's all politics.
This is the result of a continuous, coordinated narrative from the Democrat apparatus of the white supremacist threat to America, the insurrectionist threat, the Russia collusion threat, these incredibly either exaggerated or fabricated narratives of terror that they use, then create a perception among people that they can't treat their fellow Americans fairly because our democracy is at risk. How many times you hear them say a threat to our democracy when someone is, you know, January was there protesting on January 6th, whatever it may be. We'll come back. We got more on COVID. We got some the Dave Chappelle special. Clay and I both watched it. The left is very upset about that. We got a stacked show for you. We're going to be back with you in a couple minutes.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.